Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, January 10th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
The New Year rally in global equities stalls while Treasuries lead a broad advance in bonds.
Trade sentiment slides as the U.S. and China offer no concrete details on talks.
The outlook for Theresa May's Brexit plans darkens.
And the government shutdown threatens a banner year for IPOs.
President Trump heads to Texas to push for a border wall after walking out of a meeting with congressional leaders. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Jets have decided to hire Adam Gase as their new head coach. He just got fired by Miami and Brooklyn, a comeback win for the Nets.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Global equities are slumping while bonds gain. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And right now, S&P futures are down 15 points, Dow futures down 123, and NASDAQ futures down 44. The DAX in Germany is down 0.33%, CAC in Paris down 0.7%, FTSE 100 down 0.3%. The Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 1.3%, Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.69%, yield on the 2-year 2.53%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.2% or 62 cents to $51.74 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1%, up $1.50 to $12.93.50 an ounce. The euro $1.15.22, the yen 108.12. And this data check brought to you by SEI. Asset managers can exceed new thresholds for data management reporting and responsiveness. Transform your business with SEI's global operating platform at SEIC.com/IMS. Nathan.
Karen, China is commenting on trade talks with the U.S. now. The Minister of Commerce says negotiations were broad, deep, and detailed. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from Hong Kong.
The ministry said the two sides implemented the consensus reached earlier by the two presidents, and it said both trade and structural issues were discussed in the meetings. The two seem largely in sync now over their interpretation of the talks, although the U.S. was slightly more upbeat. In any case, the trade war rhetoric has been toned down, and the two seem more methodical now toward finding a deal. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. We're also getting word from China's vice president. He says the country is committed to its own path, but also that cooperation between Beijing and Washington is the best way forward. Still, that cooperation could be hard to achieve. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with that story. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. The White House, he is pushing for a way to make sure China delivers on any commitments reached in a deal. The Office of U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer says it wants any agreement to include ongoing verification and effective enforcement. The Trump administration has criticized China for failing to live up to past promises, including a pledge to open up China's economy to more trade and investment after joining the World Trade Organization back in 2001. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, John. Now, both sides are saying the right things, but there were no concrete details in statements from either side. That had the New Year equity rally taking a pause in Asia. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has details on that from Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Well, a weaker dollar pushed the yen higher and Japanese equities lower at the same time as Goldman Sachs trimmed their target for Japanese stocks. The Nikkei 225 closed down by 1.3% in Tokyo. The CSI 300 in China was down 0.2%. After five sessions of gains, the MSCI Asia Pacific Index slightly weaker Thursday. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sally, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Stocks in Europe also posting losses today. Bloomberg Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. The stock 600 down by 0.3% as we await the outcome from US-China trade talks. Most of the sectors are lower. We're seeing some gains from utilities and from real estate. The auto is among the biggest losers as car parts makers, the likes of Valeo and Faurecia, that have gained so much in recent days, sell off this morning. Live from London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thanks. In the UK, the outlook for Theresa May's Brexit plan is getting darker. That has the Prime Minister openly contemplating a plan B. Bloomberg's Alex Morales reports from London.
Theresa May suffered her second defeat in 2 days in the House of Commons, losing control of the timetable for setting out the next steps if, as expected, Parliament votes down her Brexit deal on January the 15th. In the aftermath of Wednesday's defeat, May's office publicly discussed for the first time what she would do if she loses that critically important vote, saying the Premier would respond quickly and provide certainty on the way forward. Opposition Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn, meanwhile, will deliver a major speech on Brexit. He's expected to call for May to announce a general election if she loses next week's vote. In London, Alex Morales, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Alex, thank you. Here in the U.S., it looks like the Federal Reserve could place interest rates on hold through at least March. Minutes from the central bank's December meeting show officials preaching patience on policy. Alicia Levine is chief strategist at BNY Mellon Investment Management.
Well, I'm happy to see that there was caution in the minutes because it means that the market didn't mug the Fed. If you remember, after the hike, the market sold off 9%. And then just last Friday, Powell was very dovish in his comments. And there's a concern if there's that much of a difference between the FOMC and what the market is saying, and you just don't want it to be a messaging issue.
And today we get messaging from Jerome Powell again. The Fed chairman sits down for a conversation with Carlyle Group co-founder David Rubenstein at the Economic Club of Washington. We'll bring that to you live on Bloomberg Radio and Television at 12:45 p.m. Wall Street time.
The U.S. government shutdown is entering its 20th day, and it's starting to threaten the IPO outlook for 2019. Andrew Ramonis reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The timing for the Uber and Lyft IPOs could be thrown off because of the shutdown. There's paperwork right now at the SEC that, you know, Uber and Lyft haven't received responses to. There's just a cadence that gets thrown off when there's a shutdown like this, and things could be slowed down on the IPO front.
Sources tell Bloomberg so far neither Uber nor Lyft has received comments from the SEC on their filings.
And we have breaking news on Ford crossing the Bloomberg terminal with word of major job cuts at the automaker's European operations. Ford Motor plans to shed thousands of jobs in the region as part of a broad review. It's also not ruling out shutting some production plants in Europe. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 5:07 now on Wall Street. Time to get the latest world and national news. For that, we bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Donald Trump is taking the shutdown battle to the U.S.-Mexico border. The president will visit McAllen, Texas today, where he is expected to visit a border patrol station and a section of the border. Yesterday, President Trump walked out of a meeting with congressional leaders as efforts to end the government shutdown fell apart. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
They sat down again, hoping for some kind of agreement.
The president walked into the room, passed out candy. It was true.
And left with top House Republican Kevin McCarthy, top Senate Democrat Chuck Schumer, and Vice President Mike Pence unable to agree on what caused the meeting to end so bitterly.
Schumer continued to raise his voice.
He sort of slammed the table and said, "We have nothing to discuss."
I don't recall him ever raising his voice or slamming his hand.
Leaving hanging the question of whether the president is any closer to declaring a national emergency to seize the funds he needs for his border wall.
My threshold will be if I can't make a deal with people that are unreasonable.
Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The partial government shutdown has entered its 20th day. Millions of low-income Americans could have a harder time affording food if the shutdown continues into February. They could lose food stamps, and food inspections and drug reviews are at risk as the shutdown slows the Food and Drug Administration. Acting Attorney General Matt Whitaker is being called to testify to the House Judiciary Committee by January 29th to answer Democrats' questions about whether he should recuse himself from overseeing Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation. Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler suggested in a letter to Whitaker that the Justice Department is trying to slow walk his previous commitment to appear before the newly Democratic-led panel. South Korea's leader says it looks like a second summit is on the horizon between the U.S. and North Korea. Bloomberg's Peter Pei has more from Seoul.
South Korean President Moon Jae-in says a meeting between U.S. President Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un will happen soon, signaling stalled talks about dismantling North Korea's nuclear arsenal may be back on track. Moon's remarks during his annual press conference came hours after both Beijing and Pyongyang said their leaders backed a second Trump-Kim summit. In Seoul, Peter Pei, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. Michael Barr, this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 5:09 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. For that, we bring in John Stashower.
Nathan, the last four Jets coaches had one thing in common. They all had no previous head coaching experience. Jets fans were hoping that streak would end, and it has. But while the new coach, Adam Gase, has experience, he wasn't successful in Miami. 3 years, an under 500 record. He just got fired by the Dolphins. Gase got the Jets job because of his history working with quarterbacks. He was the offensive coordinator in Denver when Peyton Manning had an MVP season. His job with the Jets will be to groom their young quarterback, Sam Darnold. That's the trend all around the NFL. Cleveland promoted Freddie Kitchens to head coach because he had success as an assistant working with Baker Mayfield. It's the reason Arizona just hired a coach in Cliff Kingsbury, who went 25-30 at Texas Tech and just got fired.
There's nothing I can say today that's going to change that. And I know it's about the work that started yesterday and what we do from this point forward. And that's how I'm attacking that. I love Texas Tech. I love my time there. I love those players there. But this is a new chapter, a great opportunity, and an incredible organization to work for.
Denver's new coach is Vic Fangio. He was coaching the defense in Chicago. Only Miami and Cincinnati still looking. Nets hosting Atlanta went from down 19 to up 16. They beat the Hawks 116-100. Their game under 500. College basketball saw a good win for Rutgers, upsetting Ohio State. Seton Hall, a one-point win over Butler. Syracuse beat Clemson. Fordham lost at Duquesne. We're at the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Another sports news. NBA star Stephen Curry's going global. He's partnering with Japanese e-commerce company Rakuten. The company looks to widen a U.S. promotional push that's already including sponsorship of Curry's team, the Golden State Warriors. Multi-year agreement makes Steph a representative for the brand. It has a special focus on the U.S. Focus on U.S. markets. Futures pointed lower. S&P futures down 11 points. Dow futures down 86. NASDAQ futures down about 34 points. 10-year Treasury yield price up 2/32nd. The yield at 2.70%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up on 512 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty. NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It was a day of reversals in global markets with a new year rally in global equities stalling, the dollar edging higher, and oil heading for the first drop in 2 weeks. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about 11 points. Dow futures down 84. NASDAQ futures down 32. The DAX in Germany is down 0.25%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32nd, yield 2.70%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.54%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.3% or 16 cents to $52.20 a barrel. COMEX gold is little changed, up 90 cents to $12.92.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.1527, the yen, 108.18. At 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, the Labor Department issues its weekly report on initial jobless claims, and Bloomberg's Vinnie Dal Giudice reports.
In the prior report, initial jobless claims hit a four-week high, 231,000. Continuing claims, reported with a one-week lag, rose to the highest since July. Nonetheless, the totals remain near record lows. Now, the Labor Department is issuing data despite the government shutdown. Look for its consumer price index Friday. The Commerce Department, the other big data agency, remains closed. Vinnie Dal Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinnie, thank you. And the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index is out at 945. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. President Trump will visit the Texas-Mexico border later today. Amid debate over his proposed border wall, the president will be joined by Texas Senators Ted Cruz and John Cornyn near McAllen. Yesterday, President Trump walked out of a White House meeting with congressional leaders as talks to end a nearly three-week government shutdown collapsed over funding for a border wall. There could be another name in the race for president. CBS reports Democratic Senator Kamala Harris will announce her candidacy on or around Martin Luther King Day. In sports, the New York Jets are expected to formally announce today that they have hired former Miami Dolphins coach Adam Gase as their head coach. In the NBA, the Nets won along with the Celtics and Wizards. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We're coming up on 520 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Our guest this morning, Simon French, chief economist at Panmure Gordon. Good morning, Simon. We're still waiting for concrete details from the talks between the U.S. and China. What's your read on the signals we're getting on the trade dispute?
Yeah, good morning, Nathan. Pleasure to join you. I think the signals are one of caution. I don't think this is a breakthrough that is easy to achieve. I think there's some fairly entrenched positions from two world economies that are, you know, of such scale that you're not going to see the concessions that we saw over NAFTA with Mexico and Canada ceding ground fairly quickly. I don't think China have the same incentives. The motivations are not there. And therefore, I expect this to run and be at the forefront of investors' minds throughout the rest of the year.
Lack of motivations despite the signs of slowing in the Chinese economy?
Well, I think what's quite interesting is the slowdown in the Chinese economy has triggered a policy response. And we've seen a stimulus of monetary policy with the reserve requirement ratio cuts that we heard about last week, but also in the Chinese public sector, an attempt to do what the Chinese authorities did in the middle of 2015, the last time the Chinese economy slowed down, and stimulate demand. And the question is, can that policy or that coordinated policy manage the business cycle effectively to buy Chinese negotiators more time? The tentative signs are that it can, but it is a very difficult balancing act to try and manage any business cycle, particularly an economy as large as China's.
Yeah, and the U.S. and China are both trying to bring their economies in for a soft landing at the same time, even as this dispute continues. Can they pull it off?
Well, I think you ask exactly the right question, because history is littered with examples of administrations trying to manage a soft landing and events, risks that many people struggle to foresee during an expansion phase start to crystallize. But I would say, in the context of both the U.S. in terms of its return towards a trend growth rate more like 2% rather than 3%, and China gradually slowing from that 7% growth rate down to 6. These are events that are slightly more manageable than an external stimulus such as an oil price shock that it becomes, or a financial shock that becomes much, much harder to try and absorb.
Simon French, chief economist at Panmure Gordon. We've had a few hours to digest the minutes from the December Federal Reserve rate setting meeting. A lot more dovish signals than Powell put out at the news conference. What's your take on that?
Yeah, this was a set of minutes that was laced with the word uncertainty. And what we really got was a sense from FOMC members that since the September meeting through to the December meeting, they'd become much more cautious on the outlook for growth. The risks now skewed to the downside in the U.S. economy rather than to the upside. And, of course, what is the long-term neutral rate in the U.S. economy? We're looking at that coming down about 25 basis points over the course of the last quarter. But there is a lot of discussion as to whether financial markets are pricing this one correct in terms of the tough Q4, or whether underlying demand remains very resilient. And I think that caution, the main takeaway that investors should have, is the Federal Reserve is not going to move in autopilot like it did in 2018. It's going to be much more data dependent, and our base case now is it'll just hike rates just once in 2019.
In our last minute or so, I want to get your comments on Brexit. With the vote coming up in Parliament next week, Theresa May, the Prime Minister, now openly talking about a Plan B. Are we at risk of crashing out of the EU without a deal?
There's always a risk. Tough to pack all this stuff into 1 minute. The one thing I would say is the vote on the 15th of January is one that the government will likely lose, and therefore a Plan B needs to crystallize within 72 hours by the 18th of January. That's the date for investors to focus in on. I think the government will stick to its guns, try and get the deal it has negotiated with EU27 through on a second or subsequent vote. But you're right, the tail risk scenario here, and the reason the UK assets are cheap by historical and comparative standards, is that people fear the no-deal exit on the 29th of March, which remains, while a low probability, a high-impact event.
A lot going on. Thanks for getting it all in. Simon French, chief economist at Panmure Gordon. Always good to talk to you here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Taking a quick look at the markets ahead of the open this morning, S&P futures are down 13 points or 0.5%. Dow futures down 103 points. NASDAQ futures down about 40 points. Price of the 10-year Treasury up 2/32. The yield at 2.70%. 2-year Treasury yields at 2.54%. The euro at $1.1530, the British pound at $1.2762. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by BNB Bank from Montauk to Manhattan, partnering with business in their financial success with local decision-making, custom solutions, and attention to detail. BNB Bank, many success stories, one bank, bnbbank.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 99.1.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The 2019 stock rally is stalling this morning. S&P futures are down 0.4%. The stock's Europe 600 index is off by 0.3%. And in Asia, Japan's Nikkei dropped 1.3%.
Global stocks had rallied amid optimism around U.S.-China trade talks, but so far we have no concrete details from either side. Bloomberg's John Tucker is here with the latest. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. China characterized the latest round of talks as broad, deep, and detailed. It suggests the two sides covered enforcement of intellectual property rights, a key U.S. priority. A U.S. statement didn't say whether progress had been achieved. President Trump and China's President Xi have given their officials until March 1st to reach an accord on structural changes. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Investors will also be listening to Jerome Powell today. The Fed chairman sits down for a conversation with Carlyle Group co-founder David Rubenstein at the Economic Club of Washington. We'll bring it to you live on Bloomberg Radio and Television at 12:45 p.m. Wall Street time.
In Europe, Theresa May is openly contemplating a Brexit Plan B. There are growing signs Parliament will reject the deal she reached with the European Union and try to take charge of what happens next.
Ford Motor is planning major job cuts at its European operations. The automaker plans to shed thousands of jobs in the region as part of a broad review. Ford's also not ruling out shutting some production plants in Europe.
Shares of Bed Bath & Beyond are up 18% in early trading. The retailer reported it was ahead of schedule for some longer-term financial goals, like moderating profit declines and growing net earnings.
Shares of Tesco are up more than 2% in London. UK's biggest retailer posted Christmas sales that beat estimates.
And after spending more than a month in prison, 64-year-old Carlos Ghosn has developed a fever, prompting Japanese authorities in Tokyo to stop interrogating the former Nissan chairman.
Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And S&P futures are down 14 points this morning. Dow futures down 114 and NASDAQ futures are down 42. The DAX in Germany down about 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.69%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.53%. NYMEX crude oil down about 0.3%, down 20 cents to $52.16 a barrel. COMEX gold is on the rise, up about 0.1%, up $1.20 to $1,293.20 an ounce. The euro, $1.1524, and the yen, 108.18. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to find out what else is happening in the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Trump makes his appeal for a southern border wall with a visit to McAllen, Texas today as he pushes for funding for a barrier. Yesterday, the president walked out of a White House meeting with congressional leaders after talks to end the partial government shutdown collapsed. The president, in a tweet, said the meeting was a waste of time, blaming House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer for being unwilling to negotiate.
I don't care politically. I'm doing what's right for the country. But I'll tell you, it's a very bad political issue for the Democrats. That I can tell you.
After the meeting, Senator Schumer accused the president of throwing a temper tantrum.
He sort of slammed the table. And when Leader Pelosi said she didn't agree with the wall, he just walked out and said, we have nothing to discuss.
All of this comes as the shutdown has entered its 20th day. There are new reports that there will be a second summit between President Trump and Kim Jong-un. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
A flurry of activity came at the conclusion of the meetings between China's President Xi Jinping and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. State media on both sides pushing out stories that both support another Trump-Kim summit. Then South Korean President Moon Jae-in said it would take place soon and that it would be a turning point for peace. He is also suggesting the U.S. ease sanctions so that the two Koreas can start joint economic projects. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is in Cairo today to deliver a major speech outlining U.S. policy in the Middle East. Bloomberg's Nick Bottoms in Washington reports it's part of Pompeo's week-long trip to the region.
He's expected to emphasize the U.S. commitment to its partners and will look to ease concerns about the U.S. strategy after President Donald Trump unexpectedly announced he would withdraw troops from Syria. Officials now suggest the pullout won't happen anytime soon. In Washington, Nick Wadhams, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The cost to mail a letter is going up this month. The U.S. Postal Service will raise the price of forever stamps by 5 cents to 55 cents per stamp. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the Jets have their new coach, 40-year-old Adam Gase. His hiring will be a tough sell to Jets fans, considering Gase just got fired after three very mediocre seasons as the head coach in Miami, although while coaching the Dolphins, he did go 5-1 against the Jets. The Gase hiring a surprise. The favorite was considered to be Mike McCarthy, who also just got fired, but he took Green Bay to the playoffs 9 times and won a Super Bowl. But the Jets are continuing a recent NFL trend. Hire a young head coach to work with a young quarterback and work with Sean McVay and the LA Rams, and now everyone's doing it. Not only the Jets, the Cleveland Browns just promoted Freddie Kitchens to head coach, although Denver went with Vic Fangio, who's a defensive coach. He gets his first head coaching job after 33 years as an assistant. Another win for the Nets. They came from 19 down at Barclays to beat Atlanta 116-100. D'Angelo Russell, 23 points.
They challenged us tonight. You know, we came out a little, you know, slow, but we picked it up. You know, picked it up our intensity, picked it up on defense, and we got the win. But you playing against good teams like that, you can't play with fire like that. And we clearly know that. Just thank God we got that win.
And their next game is against a better team in Toronto. But the Nets have won 13 of the last 17, just a game under 500. College basketball, Rutgers, first Big Ten win, a 64-61 upset of 16th-ranked Ohio State. Seton Hall got by Butler, 76-75, 31 points for Miles Powell. Fordham lost to Duquesne, 66-61. The Milwaukee Brewers have signed free agent catcher Yasmani Grandal, who had been with the Dodgers. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover is on President Trump's love-hate relationship with the stock market. Also in this week's issue, the FDA considering apps to prescribe drugs. Anna Edney wrote that for Bloomberg Business Week.
The idea would be that a drug company would create this app that would help customers who want to go into the drugstore and buy what now is a prescription medication that would then be switched to an over-the-counter medication.
Read more about this app and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street. Ed Curry's here with the Tri-State Business Report. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Nathan. New Jersey has promised $11 billion in corporate tax breaks, but it's fallen short on monitoring the grantees' compliance, at times overpaying or improperly giving out awards. That's according to a 72-page report issued by Comptroller Philip Degnan. Homebuyers in New York's Westchester have found a less costly way to live in the county where residents pay the highest property taxes in the country. In the fourth quarter, sales of co-ops rose 16% from a year earlier, and condo transactions rose 8%. That's according to appraiser Miller Samuel and brokerage Douglas Elliman Real Estate. Home sale prices in Connecticut rose again in November, despite another month of sluggish sales across the state. A report from the Warren Group says the median sale price of a single-family house rose to $250,000 in November, up 3.1% from last year. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thank you. It's 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Ford is rolling out a redesign of the Explorer this summer.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about strong quarterly results from L.A.-based homebuilder KB Homes.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on stockpiling plans at Britain's biggest retailer, Tesco, ahead of Brexit.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, we're talking about the latest on the troubled retailer Sears, teetering on liquidation.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Ford plans to cut thousands of jobs in Europe.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. A morning where we could see losses at the open on Wall Street. S&P futures right now down 13 points or 0.5%. Dow futures down 100. NASDAQ futures down about 39 points. Price of the 10-year Treasury up 2/32, the yield at 2.70%. Two-year Treasuries at 2.53%. DAX in Germany down 0.2%. CAC in Paris down 0.5%. FTSE in London down 0.1%. The euro trading at $1.1522. The British pound at $1.2749. And the yen, dollar yen is at 108.20. This is Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Stevens Institute of Technology, the Quant School on the Hudson, with an online master's in financial analytics that teaches the latest data science techniques. Learn more at stevens.edu/fintech.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. A day of reversals in global markets with the new year rally in global equities stalling, the dollar edging higher, and oil heading for the first drop in 2 weeks. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 12 points, Dow futures down 90, NASDAQ futures down 37. The DAX in Germany is down 0.25%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.69%, yield on the 2-year 2.53%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.7% or 33 cents to $52.02 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.1%, up $1.10 to $12.93.10 an ounce. The euro, $1.1527, and the yen, 108.17. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump will travel to McAllen, Texas today to visit a Border Patrol station for a roundtable on immigration and border security. The president is trying to bolster his case for the border wall after negotiations with Democrats collapsed over funding for the wall. South Korean President Moon Jae-in said a second summit between President Donald Trump and North Korea's Kim Jong-un was imminent. Moon says he expects the next summit to produce a detailed agreement on disarmament steps by North Korea and corresponding measures by the U.S. In sports, the New York Jets are expected to formally announce today that they have hired former Miami Dolphins coach Adam Gase as their head coach. In the NBA, the Nets won along with the Celtics and Wizards. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's nearly 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform that offers informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Bloomberg Opinion editor Jennifer Ryan's back with us now from our London bureau. As populist tensions continue in France, Jen, Lionel Laurent writes that Emmanuel Macron has boxed himself into a corner. What's Lionel's take on how Macron has been handling the yellow vest protests?
Well, he says that after Macron did a bit of a climb down towards the end of last year, doing things like offering a hike to the minimum wage, the Gilets Jaunes movement has sort of splintered a bit. There is still, nevertheless, plenty of people taking to the streets and quite a lot of violence. Most recently, rioters used a forklift truck to break into the office of a top government spokesman who fled by the back door. And there was a boxer who was arrested after beating up a cop.
Wow. So what is Macron doing in response to that?
Well, it's a really hard law and order response. So there's a pledge to deploy 80,000 security forces on Saturday to contain the next round of protests, new laws and better equipment. And you can kind of see, Laurent writes, about why Macron is taking this tack, because the far right is actually doing quite well in French opinion polls. But really, the more awkward question that should be asked is why there's still public support for the movement. And really, it's worth pointing out that the roots of the crisis continue to run quite deep. The economy is weakening. And the risk here is that Macron's preference for using brute force is going to backfire against him.
I saw one poll just out this morning that seemed to indicate that support for the yellow vest may be declining. I mean, you know, you can read day-to-day polls any which way you want. But what does Laurent say Macron should be doing instead?
Well, there certainly is still real and genuine support for the movement, even if the numbers are indeed, like you say, moving around a bit. But more, what's more worrying is that the signs of this discontent were popping up a long while ago, as you know, early 2018. And the government continued to miss this. And what this does is illustrate that Macron and his officials sort of are looking down from Olympus at the rest of the plebs in France and not really accepting what it is that their concerns are or paying much attention to what they're being told. And so what Léonard Laurent is arguing today is that Macron and his officials need to do a lot more work at the parliamentary level to reconnect with voters.
Yeah, I would imagine a lot more work has yet to be done as the movement progresses. Let's move on to a piece perhaps you could characterize as news you can use from Mark Gilbert, writing about the folly of following your broker's top picks. Gilbert's writing that the British equivalent of Charles Schwab is caught up in a dispute that brokers can take a lesson from everywhere.
That's right. So he's talking about Hargreaves Lansdowne, and it's embroiled in a dispute with a person called Terry Smith. He's one of the country's best-known fund managers. Now, the broker has – the issue here is that the broker's really trimmed its list of funds that it recommends and it's now just 50 funds. And the argument that Smith makes is that because Smith's own FundSmith group wasn't included – he alleges that Hargreaves Lansdowne has using the platform to select funds that maximize its own profit rather than focusing on potential returns for its customers.
So does that argument have any merit?
Well, to be sure, the broker has profited from the shifting investment landscape because, you know, you're well aware that more and more people are taking control of their own retirement savings. But if you look at which funds are included and which aren't, you can see that there's any number of fund managers there who are having good years and bad years. I mean, we've got Neil Woodford as another famous fund manager here in Britain. His recent performance is really trailed behind Terry Smith's. And the broader picture here is that I don't know, you don't know, Mark Gilbert doesn't know, Hargreaves Lansdowne doesn't know how Woodford's going to do in the future years, if he's going to recover his mojo, and if Terry Smith's selections are going to continue to shine.
Yeah, and Gilbert points out that this could point to a fundamental problem in the investing business.
Yeah, I mean, however much your marketing material contains disclaimers, the halo of historical success still counts for far more than it really ought to. But the one factor that funds and investors can control is fees. And here is where Gilbert points out there's a real problem. So for Hargreaves Lansdowne, the average cost of investing in an active fund through its platform is a bit more than 1%. And if you look at that, you really can understand why the flood of money into low-cost passive strategies is going to continue unabated.
What's the saying? Past performance doesn't guarantee future results.
That's what they say.
Bloomberg Opinion Editor Jennifer Ryan, thanks as always, joining us from London. You can read more about this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion. Bloomberg Terminal customers, type OPIN, go on your terminal. Karen.
Thanks, Nathan. It's 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Potisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
House Democrats and environmental groups want the Trump administration to close all national parks during the partial government shutdown, saying they're at risk of permanent damage from vandalism and overflowing waste. Initial public offerings and normal policing of the securities industry by the SEC are on hold as the partial shutdown drags into a third week. And New Jersey's top court says the National Football League's ticket allocation for the 2014 Super Bowl, including its offering of only 1% of tickets to the public, didn't violate a state law.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Steve, thank you. Now, another legal news. Special counsel Robert Mueller's team suspects that Paul Manafort shared polling data on the 2016 election with an associate tied to Russian intelligence and then lied about it. For more on this development revealed in a poorly redacted court filing, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks with Jimmy Garulli, professor at Notre Dame Law School.
Jimmy, tell us more about the information the redaction revealed.
Well, it revealed that there was this meeting between Paul Manafort, who was at the time the Trump campaign chairman, and an individual by the name of Konstantin Kilimnik. And Kilimnik's a very interesting individual. The U.S. intelligence community has reason to believe that he's connected to Russian intelligence. And apparently the purpose of the meeting was for Manafort to share this internal polling data with Kilimnik. And so this raises a number of very serious and important questions. You know, first, why would the campaign chairman share this internal polling data with an individual connected to Russian intelligence? And I think the obvious reasonable explanation is that this would be information that would assist the Russians, again, if passed on by Kilimnik to others in the Russian intelligence community, to assist Trump in getting elected. That's the bottom line, to assist Trump in getting elected by enabling the Russians to better target their social media campaign to assist and motivate Trump voters and to suppress Hillary Clinton voters.
Is this the clearest evidence we have seen so far of collusion or what lawyers might call conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russia?
I think there's no question that it is. It's clearly the most concrete, direct evidence of the Trump campaign conspiring with members, with Russian officials to aid Trump in getting elected.
But despite all the information we've seen, there still is no connection to the president. Is that right?
That's correct. So that's the other important question. Was Trump aware? Was Trump aware, candidate Trump aware at that time that this meeting was taking place? Did he give his blessing? Did he encourage Manafort to meet with Kilimnik? Or was this something that Manafort did on his own without the president's knowledge?
And that's Jimmy Garulli, professor at Notre Dame Law School, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. And futures are falling this morning. S&P futures down about 14 points. Dow futures down 104, NASDAQ futures down 39, and the 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.69%. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.